Well, thank you for joining IBM Open Mic Technical Seminar. Today we have Jane Lee from IBM China Level 2 Support Team. Jane Lee has been working in MQ Support Team for more than 10 years. Her current job is MQ Level 2 Support. She has great experience in MQ troubleshooting, configuration, and solution design over the years with IBM. Now, let's welcome Jane Lee to present this topic.
So, hello everyone. My name is Jane Lee. The topic I'm presenting is MQ Clustering new features introduced in MQ version 7.1 and 7.5. And today's session will be about 15 minutes. So now, please turn to page 2. Let's have a look at agenda. So firstly, I will introduce MQ version 7.1 clustering new feature that includes performance improvement, increased distributed error log, enhanced security model, workload balancing by message rule, topped up cluster control and cluster monitoring tool. Then I will take you through MQ version 7.5 clustering new feature, splitting cluster transmission queue. After session, we'll conduct a question and answer section, and you will have the opportunity to ask your question. So next, I'll move on to page 4. I'm going to introduce MQ version 7.1 clustering new feature. So the first is performance improvement. As more and more MQ users are using clustering future in their enterprise environment, cluster performance become a big concern. Since MQ version 7.1, MQ cluster repository task per set, let's say DMQ RIMFA per set, become a fast bound per set. Accordingly, simplify its access to queue manager data and the performance of MQI calls by the DMQ RIMFA per set is improved and is quite beneficial in large MQ clustering environment. On the other hand, cluster repository cache maintenance and garbage collection is introduced, which intend to improve performance as well, and a queue manager will periodically perform a maintenance cycle to refresh and remove state associated with the cluster queue manager. So next, I'll turn to page 5. So MQ clustering has a reputation for forgetting things. One reason for this is when a queue manager repository manager process, EMQ RMA process, terminated. But in this state, the queue manager can appear to be running successfully, even when applications are using clustering queues. However, no cluster management operation for this queue manager would occur. The cluster queues owned by this queue manager will not be renewed and therefore is barred from the cluster after 30 days. Existing users can still know that queue for another 50 days. However, the queue manager cannot access any new cluster queues. You require the manager process is not running on this queue manager. So why would the MQ cluster repository manager process terminated? It could be caused when AMQ or RFA process catch error such as backup or transaction, our system cluster queue being temporarily unavailable, our internal logical error. So when failing to process a command on distributed platform, prior to MQ version 7.1, MQ will back up the command message, writing the error to the queue manager error log, and sleep for 10 minutes and then retry the command. You let fail, the repository manager process will terminate it, and the queue manager will carry on. Unfortunately, people often do not notice error in their distributed queue manager error log, so the error log writes and time go on, then the cluster starts to lose sync. And now, the anti-worsen 7.1, the retry logic for failing commands has been extended now to the following. From a single retry to retry every 10 minutes for at least 5 days before EMQ-RFA process give up and terminated. This generates error in the QManager error log every 10 minutes for less period. And new system cluster command queue is manually get disabled. The retry is disabled until the queue is enabled. This stops the 5-day retry countdown. Warnings are issued every 10 minutes while in this state. And the above should get someone's attention. They then have the ability to suspend the countdown by get disabled the command queue. Then it will allow administrator to debug error without terminating EMQ-RFA process later. But at this point, no clustering management is being performed, just like prior to MQ version 7.1. And after 5 days of repeated failures in the repository manager with no user interaction, the queue manager will terminate. Additionally, an immediate termination of the repository manager process will result in immediate queue manager termination. It's a default behavior introduced in MQ version 7.1. And if user wants to back up this behavior, they can set a tuning parameter in the QManager qm.ini file. The tuning parameter tolerates repository failure equal to true. And please note that having the default reverse would result in the very situation we are trying to detect being missed. So next, I'll turn to page 6. As you may know, prior to MQ version 7.1, default size of MQ error log on distributed platform is 256 kilobytes, and the log size is insufficient to keep a reasonable history of events. And in fact, the change came from the clustering team, because we often see our customer clustering problems where the log have read and making it very hard to diagnose root cause. Because of the big time deal involved, 30 days or 90 days. So this is why I put this slide here, although it looks not a specific cluttering new feature. So now with NQ version 7.1, default NQ log size increased to 2 megabytes. And you could override the change by setting the environment variable NQ max error log size or setting error log size in the QManager error log standard in the qm.ini file, just like the footage on the slide. And NQ clustering leverage advantage of large NQ log file size, and it will record more informational or warning or error message in and some documentants. And next, I'm going to talk about those increased message. I'll move on to page 7. So when a new QManager joins a cluster using the same channel name as an existing cluster member in the documentant, EMQ9458 will be issued to the QManager error log. It reminds user cluster receiver channel has been configured by multiple QManagers. And since all cluster receiver channels used within a cluster must be unique named, so only the last QManager joined cluster will use the named channel. The original QManager will not successfully participate in the cluster, while the newer QManager is a member. And the use of a channel name currently associated with a different QManager in the cluster may be intentional. For example, the original QManager may have been deleted and recreated as a new QManager. However, accidental duplication of a channel name across multiple QManagers would also result in this behavior, so this was not intended. Further investigation into the configuration of the QManager should be performed. So next, I'll turn to page 8. As we mentioned earlier, cache maintenance and garbage collection is introduced in NQ version 7.1, intended to improve performance. However, in large cluster environments, some maintenance cycle was seen to take significant period of time, and user could observe like system cluster command queue backup, and all cluster commands were blocked for no apparent reason, and CPU use of the repository manager goes very easy, and at certain stage lock ahead for a long time, making some cluster related operations wrong. And now EMQ 9871 message will be writing to the log. We maintain garbage has already taken 10 minutes but not yet to complete. It will repeat at 5 minutes intervals. Past that point until it complete. And EMQ 9871 will give an indication of the progress that's being made. EMQ 9872 will be written to this log when the maintenance cycle has completed. This message is for information purpose only. No user response is required. And please note like the initial delay time default is 10 minutes, just like I talked about, but it can be tuned by setting the EMQ underline cluster underline monitor underline delay environment variable. Next, I'll move on to page 9. So refresh cluster command can take a long time to finish, and it's hard to know what the repository manager is doing when apparently CPU bound and unresponsive. Prior to MQ version 7.1, a message was issued at the point that repository manager had generated all the messages as a result of refresh cluster command being processed. This message simply claims refresh was complete, but is not actual end of refresh processing. At this point, NQ could haven't even commit those messages because it may take a while for large units of work. And if this is a full repository queue manager, those messages will result in a sudden influx of many messages from all members of the cluster. Version 7.1 now issue a start refresh informational message and clarify what stage is reached when the previous completed message is issued, but it's still not possible to determine when it is really complete. As quoted on this slide, EMQ 9875 message will indicate the beginning of refresh cluster command processing. In phase 1, this will discuss all locally cached information for the cluster and request new information from other members of the cluster when necessary. Phase 2 process the information received. For large cluster configuration, this process can take a significant time, especially on full repository queue manager. And during this time, applications are attempting to access cluster resource may see failures to resolve cluster resource. In addition, cluster configuration change made on its queue manager may not be processed until the refresh process has completed. Before any cluster-related work on its queue manager until both phases are complete, message EMQ 9442 will be issued to this log at the end of phase 1, and phase 2 is complete with all new information have been received from other members of cluster. You could monitor your cluster command queue to determine when it has reached a consistently empty state to indicate the refresh process has completed. So next, I'll move on to page 10. Another operation that can result in significant period of apparent unresponsive repository manager time can be when consolidating multiple cache update messages into one or more checkpoint message. And if the repository manager is about to command such a task where there are more than 50,000 updates to process, then now an informational message ENQ 8976 issue to indicate cluster management is about to comprise a large number of test records. If the start message is issued, a following completion message EMQ 9877 will be issued. Please note that during the compression task, cluster management command will not be processed. Next, I'll move on to page 11. Execution controller, that's to say EMQ CXMA0 process, rebuild the cluster cache from the data persist on the cluster repository queue as part of queue manager start process. And prior to MQ version 7.1, any error in restoring the cache resulted in an override general message EMQ 9422. And version 7.1 now issue a more specific error EMQ 9873 in the queue manager error log to indicate an error occurred while restoring the cluster cache and issue an additional message. EMQ 7286 to the console as part of start queue manager. Under this scenario, this will not prevent the queue manager from starting, but the cluster cache held by this queue manager is now incomplete, which could result in inconsistency in cluster resource owned by this queue manager. User can check message in the error log for detail of the error encountered or contact your IBM support center to resolve the problem. Next, I move on to page 12. Using the new security model, and traditionally, on platform other than BOS, all object authority requires the object being defined locally. For remote objects, the queue manager makes authority checks on appropriate local objects. For remote queue, application require authority on the transmission queue which queue manager name resolution has resolved to put the message on. And from non-local cluster queues, application require authority to put message on the cluster transmit queue. However, in this way, it's lack of granularity. Many different objects resolve to the same underlying object against which authority checks are performed. So usually workaround method is to defend a local alias queue for this cluster queue. And with MQ version 7 and the introduction of topic object, the OAM was extended to allow authority on not yet defined objects. So with MQ version 7.1, enhanced security feature is introduced. MQ has the ability to have queue authority profile without the queue object actually existing locally on the queue manager. Then application user can apply authority for not locally defined queue, like remote queue or cluster queue. And as this chart shows, prior to MQ version 7.1, new application need to open a cluster queue. Usually they will defend a local queue alias pointing to the cluster queue, then give application permission to put to the local alias queue. Then no access required to the cluster transmit queue or remote queue. So next I move on to page 13. Now with MQ version 7.1, only need to grant application permission to put to the real type of queue. No access required to the cluster transmit queue. Let's move on to page 14. And the old security model is preserved via compatibility mode. And your user wants to back up to the old security model. They modify QM.ini file to include new security standard. Just need to config remote queue access control attribute to admit queue. And please note that only permissible value is admit queue, which indicates the old security model should be used. And the default behavior for the queue manager is to use the new security model. Next, I'll move on to page 15. I'm going to talk about another cluttering new feature, workload balance by group. Prior to MQ version 7.1, two banding options have been provided, band unopen and band not fixed. Band unopen will have all messages for the lifetime of the object handle are routed to the same cluster queue instance, and band not fixed, which allows routed message processing. With MQ version 7.1, a third option is included on the open of putting application. It can be used to maintain integrity of group of message. And please note, like workload balancing algorithm remain unchanged, but will only be driven between complete group when using the new option. It also allow applications to get message with options MQ GMO, all message available and NQDMO ready for order on NQGet. As shown on this slide, new option NQO underline band underline on underline group is included on to open of pushing application. It can be used to maintain integrity of group of message. Alternatively, view NQO underline as underline Q underline defend and specify DF band group to group on the queue destination. MQ does not support application managed group, so application must specify MQ PMO underline logic underline order at two times and must not manually specify group ID, just leave as MQ GI underline none. It will allow queue managers provide group ID, otherwise would give an error. NQ RC underline incomplete underline group. An application need to use user grouping flag within the descriptor of message. Just include the following message flag within the message descriptor of message. Last message in group should be with NQ MS last message in group, and all other messages in group need to be with message flag, MQMF message in group. And you cannot say change, both groups will not be considered eligible for reallocation, just like use MQBand on open option. So next, I'll move on to page 15. This chart shows an example of using band on group. Application open a cluster queue, QX, on queue manager QM1, and it marks the first, the second message with message flag, NQF, MF, message in group, and marks the third message with NQMF, last message in group. Then all these three messages are considered to belong one group, then go to the same cluster queue on queue manager QM2. So next, I'll turn to page 19. Okay. So on this chart, application continue to put the fourth message with message flag, NQF message in group, and the fifth message with NQMF last message in group. Then these two messages are considered to belong to another group, then go to another class of queue on queue manager QS3. So next, I'll move on to page 18. We'll discuss another new feature, pass-up cluster control. And pass-up cluster introduced in MQ version 7 gave a powerful way to combine the topic space pass-up domain across multiple queue managers. However, pass-up is a much more dynamic environment than traditional point-to-point messaging. And this means in large or tightly stretched deployment, the additional overhead can be undesirable. Therefore, for existing large point-to-point cluster, we strongly recommend to avoid suddenly introduced cluster topic objects. This guide is addressed to create a new cluster network for any pop-up activity, and many customers have taken this advice on board in their internal process. However, until now, there has been no way to enforce this. And with NQ version 7.1, new attribute PSCLU is introduced. It's a parameter at queue manager level control whether or not this queue manager will participate in pasta clustering. You can execute RAM classic command out of queue manager to modify this parameter. And when this command executes, it needs to connect to cluster cache you are typing to disable. And when defend or alter topic command is issued, MQ will check this queue manager attribute first and redirect command to create a cluster topic. The queue manager's attribute PSCLUS is set to disable, and pop-up cluster control parameter cannot be disabled if there's cluster topic already defined as present, even if it's defined elsewhere in the cluster. Pop-up cluster control is recommended to set on every queue manager you know pop-up to be used, but configuring at least four repositories will provide majority of protection. So next, I'll move on to page 19. This slide gives an example of how administrator could choose to overlay a new pop-up cluster on an existing point-to-point infrastructure. And key points here are separate full repository for existing and new cluster. You desire to keep entirely as a subset of the existing cluster. The new full repository could also be in the point-to-point cluster, but they must be separate queue manager to the existing full repository. And the PSCLUS attribute should be disabled on non-pop-up full repository. And the PSCLUS attribute should be enabled on all queue manager participating in pop-up cluster. Otherwise, we'll get an error message and trigger warning message in the log. And attribute PSCLUS can be disabled if desired on non-pop-up partial repository in the non-pop-up cluster. And if you're doing so, it's desirable. And doing so is desirable as it will make errors more obvious, more quickly and directly to the responsible administrator. And UDC is not a practical, it's not mandatory. Next, I'll move on to page 20. I'm going to talk about cluster monitor and rebalancing. And this chart shows a typically workload balancing scenario. We have two queue managers have same local cluster queue instance and have consuming application to get message from the queue. Next, I'm going to page 21. We have message producing application putting message to the class queue onto queue manager using workload balancing algorithm. Next, I'll move on to page 22. So you learn something going wrong, a consumer application stops accidentally. The message will pile up on this class queue. Your system administrator cannot detect it timely. Then I'll move on to page 23. So now with MQ version 7.1, a new tool, EMQSCOM, is provided to ensure messages are directed towards the instance of cluster queue that have consuming applications currently attached. And in addition, it will move already queued messages from instance of the queue where no consumer are attached. This removes the chance of long-term Moran message when consumer application disconnect. and above allow more versatility in the use of cluster queue topology where applications are not under the direct control of the queue manager. It also gives a greater degree of high availability in the processing of messages. The tool provides a monitor executable to run against each queue manager in the cluster hosting queue, monitor the queue and reacting accordingly. This tool is available on Ankyl version 7.01, FeedPack 8, and Ankyl 7.1, or supported as any other user compiled application. This tool is provided a source to allow users to understand the mechanics of this tool and customize when needed. Next, I'll move on to page 24. An EMQS DLM is designed based on the existing MQ cluster workload balancing mechanics. If all else being equal, MQ will prefer to send messages to instance of queues with the highest cluster priority. Using cluster priority always allows messages to be put to a queue instance, even when no consumer are attached to any instance. Change to queue's cluster configuration are automatically propagated to full repository queue manager and the partial repository queue manager who are interested in this cluster queue. An EMQ-LM is a single executable set to run against each queue manager with one or more cluster queues to be monitored. The monitoring process holds the state of the queue on a defined interval, and if no consumer are attached, cluster priority of the queue is set to zero. The cluster is queried for any active queue, and if they exist, any queued message on this queue are thus output to the same queue. Cluster workload balancing will reroute the message to the active instance of the queue in the cluster. And if consumer are attached, cluster priority of the queue is set to 1. You not already set. And we suggest you define the tool as an NQ service. Then in that way, we'll ensure it started with each queue manager. Next, I'll turn to page 25. As this chart shows, if you run into the SDLM monitor tool, then your consumer application stops. The stopped application will be detected, and then cluster query priority is set to 0. As such, the queue is deactivated. New message is directed to other active queue, and the queue message are redriven to active queue with consumer application. So next I'll move on to page 26. Limitation. The monitor tool has some limitations as this slide posted. Firstly, the monitor tool is pole-based. Then you learn more cluster queue need to monitor. There will bring some overhead on the system. So we suggest to increase call interval and list circumference. Tool is really suited to a set of long-running consumer applications. It's not suitable if your consumer application connect and disconnect cluster queue frequently, since it will result in message churn and cluster repository overhead. It's also not suitable for slow consumer applications. For simplicity, the tool monitors queues within a single cluster. As I mentioned, the tool will set cluster priority attributes, so user shouldn't set this attribute usually use monitor tool. When moving pile up messages on cluster queue with no active consumer application, any banned instructions are ignored. So next I'll move on to page 27. I'm going to introduce Ankyl version 7.5 new feature. So, turn to page 28. Okay, so this chart shows prior to Ankyl version 7.5, each cluster queue manager has a cluster transmission queue called system.cluster.transmit.queue. All the messages transmitted to other queue manager is through system.transmit queue. The next, I will turn to page 29. A number of customers have asked for multiple cluster transmit queue before. The reason for requesting this functionality can be summarized into three main requirements. The first one is separation of message traffic. All clusters in the channel are sharing one cluster transmission queue. It can bring much message traffic to the cluster transmit queue. And the second is the management of message. Sharing one cluster transmission queue by multiple clusters in the channel is not easy to manage from system administration perspective. Since the mesh size of the queue is not useful when using a single transmission queue for more than one channel. And the third one is system monitor. Tracking the number of messages processed by a cluster channel currently impossible using queue monitor. So although splitting cluster transmission queue is not a performance feature, and we do not claim performance benefit, but having multiple queue buffer and potentially a reduction on queue contention may provide some benefits in some circumstances. So next, I will move on to page 30. With MQ version 7.5, a new queue manager attribute, DSCLSQ, control if the cluster transmission queue is system.cluster.transmit.queue, or if a permanent dynamic queue is to be created for each cluster in the channel. Default option is SCPQ, so you can use auto queue manager command to change life. If user set this attribute to channel, then a queue manager will automatically define a permanent dynamic queue for each cluster in the channel. And the dynamic queue are created based upon new model queue system.cluster.transmit.model. Normally the queue name would be system.cluster.transmit.channelname. Dynamic queue are created when the cluster sender channel destination is added to the local repository cache. And this queue are removed when the cluster sender channel destination is marked as deleted in the local repository, and their open count and the QDEF is zero. The actual transmission being used by a channel may be viewed in several places, including RAM traffic command, display channel status command, or display cluster queue manager command, as well as AMQ RFDM output and AMQL DMP output. And please note that this new queue manager attribute affects all clusters in the channel on the queue manager and the restarting channel or use. Run QCHL command will make this parameter taking effect. I'll discuss it later. It's best practice that we recommend to enable supply cluster transmission queue feature on full repository from the beginning. You use a new cluster. Next, I'll move on to page 31. And this chart posted show two permanent dynamic queue are created for two classes in the channel respectively with queue manager parameter ESCLSQ setting to channel. The next, I move on to page 27. To 32. In addition to create dynamic transmission queue for clusters in the channel, user also can manually define local transmission queue as cluster transmission queue. Multiple queue can be defined to cover all or a subset of cluster channels. A new attribute, CLCH name, has been added to the queue object, allow user to set to the cluster sender channel name you wish to use the queue. This chart gives an example command using a new queue attribute define the cluster sender channel, which will use this queue as their transmission queue. The first example shown here is cluster sender channel cluster 1.2. 2.2.http queue manager will use local transmission queue named http queue manager.cluster1.ethnic queue as it is cluster transmission queue. And like I mentioned, the channel name can include a wildcard at the start or end of or end to allow a single queue to be used for multiple channels. And in the second example, assuming a naming convention where channel name all start with the name of the cluster, then all channels for cluster 1 will use the local defined transmission queue, cluster1.ethnic queue as cluster transmission queue. When a cluster channel matches the CLCXNA name attribute of more than one queue, then the most specific CLCX name value will be selected. And the same logic is used in the channel author record. Next, I'll move on to page 33. This chart shows two manual defined local transmission queue are used for two classes in the channel pointing to the same queue manager. So next, I'll move on to page 34. As we know, most customers stated they will move to a multiple transmission queue model during some time, preferably when the transmission queue is empty. But at least when throughput was planned, MQ now allows transmission queue to be switched live when a channel starts. This means application can continue to put message to the cluster destination and there's no obvious interruption to the application. We have also provided new commands run switch channel, which allow the transmission queue for top channel to be switched without starting the channel. And when starting a cluster single channel, it will query the queue manager. Use the name of the current transmission queue for the channel and the name of the transmission queue according to the current configuration at its RAM. Then after channel has resolved its in-depth batch, it will initiate the process of switching transmission queue before starting next batch of message. So at the start of switching, while switching application still puts to the old queue, the channel reads from the new queue and a background drive move message from the old queue to the new one. This could happen for a certain period of time. When no more message exists on the old queue, it will automatically direct new message to the new queue, switch transmission queue will complete. And during the process of switching transmission queue, informational message will be written to the queue manager error log. So next, I'll turn to page 35. So this chart clearly shows the process of switching transmission queue discussed as previous slide. Cluster sender channel originally used cluster transmission queue, then manually defined local transmission queue named menu.2.qm2 as cluster transmission queue. Then after channel restart, the switching of transmission queue starts. So next I'll move on to page 36. As I mentioned earlier, many customers have said they would prefer to switch the transmission queue during some time before messages are flowing. So a new command, runNQSwitchChannel, has been introduced to allow the transmission queue used by a cluster sender channel to be switched without starting channel. Also, it can be used to offload all messages for a channel which cannot be started to a separate transmission queue. Use the same technology as used by a channel when it starts, while messages are moved synchronously and the command will end when all messages have been moved. And the minus queue flag run in query mode can query change without putting any in effect, so will not actually switch the transition queue. And the minus N flag will perform the switch of transmission queue but will not move the message. Any message already put to the old transmission queue will be more run and will require manual intervention in order for them to be sent to their destination. So next, I'll move on to page 37. You will have slight cluster transmission queue but want to rework back for some reason. You need to perform step posted on this slide. You need to revert to default DSCLSQ option to SCTQ and remove all CLCH name options from any transmission queue you have and restarting channels for effect. So next I'll move on to page 38. Here, easy to highlight a new identified APAR related with splicing cluster transmit queue feature. The APAR number is IC98353. And the problem scenario is when a partial repository at version 7, at version 6, 7, or 7.1 attempt to join a cluster, when which has full repository at version 7.5 using splice cluster transmission queue. The cluster channel from the second full repository queue manager to the old version partial queue manager wouldn't start normally. It could, the state could show retrying or not found. As this APAR is still not closed, so it's not published to website. And so I cannot share with you the website for your reference. At present, I suggest you to check this APAR from our MQ support portal website maybe 2 weeks later. You can use the keyword IC98353 in search box, or you can contact IBM support to get access if you encounter the known problem. So as posted, I included additional results for your reference, and we have the MQ development community blog, and there are several MQ cluttering good articles you can read. And we also have several MQ level 2 WSTE for your reference. So now is the question and answer section.
If you have any questions, please press star 6 to unmute your line and ask question.
Okay. So, anyone have any questions?
Please press star 6 to unmute your line if you have any questions.
So any questions at this point?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Oh. அந்த ஒரு 5 நிமிஷத்துல நான் கூப்பிடுற ஒரு கால்
இருக்கேன். I'm sorry, I do not get you. Can I say again? Do you have any questions about the topic presented today? Hello?
Jan? Hello, Jan?
Ah, I'm here.
Okay, I'm Janet here. For example, if any specific customer would like to have a live demo or live sessions for this clustering configuration or clustering related queries for MQ with 7.5 Can I engage in the China the M2 labs to help on this?
Mm-hmm.
Because this, the presentation is very nice and it's good, but when the end user, when the administrator is trying to connect something, if they are facing some issues, can I get some kind of, like, if we want to do kind of POC and other things when we try, can I get some kind of support or how I can engage?
Oh, so you encounter problem when you use the splicing?
No, not that. See, well, now one of my major customers, they were evaluating in 7.5 with the clustering functionalities.
Mm-hmm.
So when they are doing an evaluation, so some on and off they may end up with some kind of issues, or they may need some kind of a technical expertise help during the evaluation. So if I confirm the timing, will you be able to join with us in the call, like as in 1 or 2 hours, like an assistant site or like as in the remote WebEx sessions?
Oh. So you mean you want us to join the WebEx session you learned?
Yes, correct.
You have a PMR opened and to MQ level 2. We should be okay to join.
Okay then, yeah, thanks. We will do that way.
Okay. So, any other question?
If you have any questions, please press *6 to unmute your line. This call will be held for another 5 minutes. If you have any questions to the MQ clustering or any other question about MQ, please feel free to raise your question now.
Hello, any questions? And we also have our MQ Level 3 MD on the line. So you have any questions, or he will also help to address.
Hi, Jen. This is Jerry.
Hi.
Yeah, yes, about you manually define the transmission queue for the cluster. So, I think the main your purpose is to split the message you flow. Yeah, but could we see some of your performance improvement on this?
You mean splitting the cluster transmission queue?
Yeah.
Just like I mentioned, although the splitting cluster transmission queue is not intended to improve performance, but to some extent, you know, the splitting the cluster transmission queue can reduce queue contention. So to some extent, it should have some benefit on performance.
Yeah, yes, so the customer may be interested in some, performance report. Do you have, I'm not sure whether we have this kind of data on this?
Oh, hello, Andy, are you online? Hello.
Hi, my name is Andy Emmett from Level 3. I don't believe we do actually have any performance statistics for using spread cluster transmit queues. I can certainly ask development, and we can definitely find that out for you, though.
Okay, thank you, Andy.
I have a question. This is Janak here. Is there any features which are available existing with the MQ7 which got deprecated with the MQ7.1 and 7.5 in terms of relating to cluster?
This is Andy again. Nothing from version 7 has been deprecated.
Okay. And Andy, is it I can do the clustering with MQ manager running in the mid-range system, like Unix based system, with MQ running on the mainframe? Can I make it send the cluster? What are the things if I want to do to consider, or is it this will be addressable?
The spread cluster transmit queue functionality is not available on the mainframe. So everything that's being presented is relating to the distributed platforms here.
Oh, okay. Because I have sent one of equipment from the architectural team where they were looking as like to avoid the single point of failure. So when in their current environment, when they were looking mid-range to mainframe, they were not able to run as in the two co-managers simultaneously, so it's like they were suspecting it's a bottleneck or in the single point of failure, so they were evaluating whether they can explore with the clustering kind of.
Okay, I mean that is sort of what the split cluster transmit queue functionality is intended for, but as I say, it's not available on ZOS because, as Jane said, there is no 7.5 product there.
Okay. Yeah, noted. I think no more questions, so it's good to close the call. Thank you. Thanks all.